Well, please turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. I'll just read a few verses from Mark 5, verse 24 onwards. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And my message for this evening gospel service is from this incident with this woman with an issue of blood, a hemorrhage, and especially from verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus. And the title very simply is, "She heard of Jesus." She heard of the Lord Jesus Christ and responded to him and went to him and obtained healing for her body. And how when we hear of Jesus, also it's a call to us to go to him and to obtain healing for our souls. Well, this poor lady, we read in verse 25, we don't know her name, it's just a certain woman. And she had this issue of blood for 12 years. She was some kind of hemorrhaging in her body. But for 12 years, she had suffered with it. She tried everything she could to be cured of it. She went to every doctor in town and maybe outside the town to find a remedy for her weak and deteriorating condition. And yet she found none. None of them could help her. They all prescribed their own various medications and treatments to give to her, but none of them were effective. In fact, we read that she didn't grow any better. She suffered many things of the physicians. Doesn't mean the physicians harmed her physically themselves, but the treatment that they gave to her, well, they didn't. They were ineffective. They didn't do her any good. They made her, in fact, worse, her condition. So day by day, this poor lady is weakening. Her condition is getting worse and worse. And all these treatments are robbing her of her strength even more. To add to that, she's had to pay all these doctors. And it wasn't cheap, it seems, because one after another, she's had to pay them. Most likely, she had to give up her own property, sell her own home, so that she could pay these doctors. But she's desperate for a cure for her hemorrhaging. She must be well, of course. What's the use of having property if you cannot live and continue life? And so she became almost penniless, it seems, as a result of trying to find a physician who could cure her. But all her hopes were dashed each and every time, maybe up and down. She hoped this particular doctor may help. Down she goes. Failure. This particular friend may help. Down she goes. Another failure. One after another. Until she had maybe almost given up a hope of ever finding a cure. And then we read in verse 27 that when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Then when she heard of this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, this miracle worker, she determined her hopes were raised once again. She had heard, no doubt, of all the things that he had done for others. And so she determined in herself, "I'm going to get to him. I'm going to go near to him. I'm going to touch him. Even come what may, I'm going to make sure I get close to him." And so we read of him, of her, pushing her way, it seems, almost through the crowd, and coming up from behind to touch his clothes. In fact, Matthew tells us, not his clothes, not just his clothes, but the hem of his clothes, the border of his garment. He wouldn't touch his person, but she wanted to touch the border of his garment. Why wouldn't she touch him? Why did she come so secretly? Well, one reason was because really a hemorrhaging person was considered unclean. And she couldn't come near to people. She couldn't enter into the temple to worship. And so maybe that's one reason why she came. But she thought, if I just touch him. Look at verse 28. She said before she went, she reasoned in her heart, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. That'll be enough. If I just touch this miracle worker, his power will heal me. And sure enough, that's what happened. She got to the Lord, she touched him, and she was healed instantaneously. And she knew it. She felt immediately the power come into her body, come out of the Lord. The virtue left, we read, left the Lord and came into this sick woman. And she was healed at that very moment. She didn't have to wait one day, even 2 days, 1 week. Immediately she got her healing. But she thought she could steal away. She thought, her plan was, I'll just go, I'll touch Christ, I'll get my healing, and then sneak away. She thought she could steal a healing from Christ without him ever knowing it. Well, she was wrong, of course, but that's what her intention was. Do get her healing and then move away quietly without anybody else knowing about it. But the Lord knew. Of course, the Lord knew. And having identified her, but he spoke very kindly to her. He didn't reprove her for what she had done. He knew she had touched her, as we'll see in a minute. And in verse 34, he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, dear friends, this miracle which happened to this lady, we don't know how old she was, but was one of countless miracles that the Lord Jesus did. In those 3 years of ministry, he did thousands of miracles. We only have a sample of what he did recorded for us. There are thousands more which are unrecorded. But every miracle that he did was a proof of who he was. He made these great claims about himself. He said that he was God. He said that he was divine. He was the Son of God, sent by the Father into this world. How do we know? How do the people know that his claims are true and right? Well, when they see the miracles that he's doing. When they see sick people like this, incurable people being healed. When they saw the blind receiving their sight. When they saw the lame people walking, the dead being raised to life. All these were confirmations given, evidence given to the people, placed before them that the Christ's teaching, what the Christ said about himself, the great claims he made about himself should be believed. Believe him, believe his message. See, look at all the miracles that he's doing. But friends, also, every miracle that Christ did demonstrates the mercy of God. You know, the Lord could very easily have just did every miracle with nature. He did sometimes with the storms. He stilled the storm with a word. But he could have just as easily said to a mountain, be cast into the ocean, the sea. And he would have done that. He could have said to the sun, be still. And he would have been still if he chose to do that. But his acts of mercy, his miraculous works were directed towards people, towards those who were in great need, to those who needed help and healing, to demonstrate again to the people how merciful God is. He delivered those who were tormented by the evil one, tormented by sin and diseases. He brought life. He had mercy upon these friends who couldn't help themselves. All to demonstrate the love of God for people's souls. But also one more thing, friends, about miracles. Miracles, as we said a number of times, are also illustrations of the way that people come to God and of the way that Christ deals with our souls, of how God deals with our souls. And even this very miracle that we're considering tonight is a picture to us of how we can find the Lord, of how we should aim to go to Him by faith and obtain spiritual healing for our souls. So let's consider it a little bit in the short time that we have. Firstly, let's think about this poor woman's condition. As we said already, she had this incurable disease. Verse 26, Mark 5:25. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. No doctor could help her. And even though she went from one to another looking for that help, no one could prescribe a cure. She could find no relief. Poor soul. She despaired of ever being in health again. And she was repeatedly disappointed. Every physician was of no help. Her particular disease must have been a very severe one. And as we said already, it's one that made her ceremonially unclean. So she couldn't go into the temple because of her particular disease. Friends, this is a picture of the disease that each one of us have in our souls. We may not have a physical disease, but each one of us has a spiritual disease in our souls. The disease of sin. The disease of sin is a power also within us. It also weakens us. It cuts us off from God. It spoils our character. And even worse, it shuts us out from heaven. Because of our sins, we cannot make contact with a holy God. We cannot go directly to Him. He won't hear us. Sin is a barrier in the way. And it's so harmful to us. It harms us. It ruins us. It makes us ugly even in our characters. That's what sin does to us. But worst of all, it cuts us off from the living God. Do we realize this, friends? Do we realize that we have a spiritual disease? Friends, if we don't realize it, we will never go to Christ. We will never go to the Lord Jesus and ask Him for forgiveness and reconciliation with God and for healing, spiritual healing. We will never pray to Him. Some people do realize it. Some people know about sin and how it's troubling them and affecting them. But what they do, instead of going to Christ, they come up and devise their own ways to fix their problems. They try and do a bit of inner DIY, as it were, to remedy the sickness within. Maybe they will turn to self-improvement books as a means. Or maybe they will attend an anger management course to try and deal with that fiery temper that spoils them and gets the better of them every now and again. Maybe they turn to positive thinking to overcome their evil thoughts and the things that are happening. But while these may be of some help, nothing permanent, friends, is achieved by these means. There's no deep change by self-improvement books and by positive thinking or such courses. It may be we take another path and then we decide, okay, we realize, yeah, we're not so good. We realize we are sinners, but maybe you say from now on, I'm going to change. Now on, I'm going to be a good person. From now on, I'm going to try and keep the Ten Commandments. And we try that way to make up for the bad things that we've done. But you'll soon find you cannot keep the Ten Commandments. You try it, and you'll soon find it's impossible to keep it. And instead of getting better, well, you will also grow worse. And dear friends, what we need is not to patch up something within us. not to patch up our old nature. What we need is a brand new nature. What we need is a new nature given to us by God. What we need, friends, is something miraculous to happen to us, just like it happened to this woman. A miracle happened to her. A miracle must happen to us. The miracle of a new heart must be given to us. God must give it to us, just like Christ gave this miracle to this woman and healed her. So God must give us a new heart. He must change us. Patching up the old nature won't do. Even if we try and attach good works onto our old nature, it'll still be unacceptable with God. We need a complete renovation, friends. A new heart, a new nature in us. You know, I'm sure you know this, but philosophers have said that over time, man is going to get better and better. As time goes on, man is going to improve. Man is on this upward path to perfection. Well, I think we're a long way off from that. I do not see perfection in the world. They say with each passing generation, man is going to get better and better and better. Is it true? Not at all, friends. Not at all. You look at the world, yes, technologically, we're a lot better off. Yes, now we can send rockets to Mars. Now we have the internet. Now we have so many other technological advances. Yes, all these mod cons for which we are very happy and pleased about, which people even at 50, 100 years ago didn't have. Well, we're thrilled to have these things. And yes, technologically man has advanced. But morally, it's a different story. Morally, we haven't advanced. Morally, we've gone in the other direction. We're degrading. We're getting worse and worse, just like this woman got worse and worse. The disease of sin is taking mankind further and further down that moral slope. You only have to read the newspapers from this week. What do we see? A young lady killed as she's walking through a park. For no reason, it seems. Or a man killing his partner and three kids. Why? Are we getting better? Is he a Hitler? Is he a Mussolini? No, he's an ordinary man. These are ordinary people that have done these things. This is what man does. This is how far he can go. Friends, this is the disease that is of sin that is within us, which if it's not dealt with, well, it will only make each one of us worse and worse. If we don't get better over time, we're not like wine, which improves over time. We're the opposite. We get worse. Well, that's bad news to tell you. But there's some good news to say. Because just like this woman, well, she heard of Jesus. In her deepest need, when her predicament seems to be without a solution, verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Well, we don't know how she found out about Christ. We don't know who told her, or we don't even know how much she actually knew about the Lord Jesus. But she knew enough to know that she should go to him. She knew that he had the power to heal her. No doubt she had heard of his many miracles that he had done. And this encouraged her. He's healed everyone who has come to him. No case has been difficult for him. Everyone he's been able to help and to heal and to deliver whatever their problem was. And this gave her so much hope. This gave her so much encouragement. And so she determined to go and just to touch, just a slight touch of the hem of his garment. Well, friends, have you heard of Jesus? Have you heard of what he has done? Have you heard like this lady has heard? Most people, of course, I'm sure here, have heard of Jesus. Maybe you've heard of him or read of him in the religious classes, in the religious textbooks. Maybe you've seen those movies about him on the TV. Or in some way or other you've heard of him. Maybe you have an opinion of him and you think, oh, he's a good man. He's a good person. But friends, he is much more than that. Have you heard of the Lord Jesus? Do you know of his, have you heard of his person? That he is God, that he is divine. This is the claims that he made about himself. The Lord Jesus is no ordinary man. He's a special man. He was fully man, but he was more than a man. He was God as well. He is the second person of the Trinity who came down from heaven and took upon himself a human nature. And he was amongst us as one who is fully man and fully God. He is like us in every way apart from sin, but in many ways he was so different because he is unique. He is the God-man. Have you heard the historical facts about Jesus? Have you really heard, friends, with your ears about him? That he lived in this world for 33 years. That he was crucified and died on the cross. That he rose from the dead after 3 days. That's a miracle. These are facts. His resurrection was testified by hundreds of people. At one time, hundreds of people saw the resurrected Christ. And even some of his disciples, initially they doubted, they disbelieved that it was him. But when they saw him, then they knew that it was truly him. They knew, they saw him die, and they saw him after his resurrection. These are the facts about Christ. Have you heard of his mission? Have you heard of Christ's mission? Why did he come into this world? Not just to be an example. He came because the Father sent him into this world to make an atonement for our sins. He came on a rescue mission, friends, to rescue his people. He came with an express purpose to rescue each and every one of his people from their sins. How did he do that? By making an atonement for them when he died on the cross. By taking upon himself in that time when he suffered and died in such great agony, taking our sins, taking the punishment for his people's sins upon himself, so that God could forgive them, so that God could pardon them from their sins. He came to be the substitute for his people. I will take their place, the Lord said. They deserve to die. They deserve to be punished. But I will be the substitute, and I will take upon myself this punishment for which they deserve. That was his mission. To bring them out of darkness into light. To take his people to heaven. And that's why he came, friends. Have you heard what he has done for millions of people? Yes, he's changed this person's life, this woman's life. But he's done it millions of times over. Millions of times over he has changed lives. All throughout this world, every country in this world, there are those who have experienced the miracle working power of Christ in giving them a new heart and a new life and a new nature. He has transformed them. And if he has done it for them, he can do it for you. That's why these things are recorded, friends. Not just for us to read and admire, but also to be encouraged ourselves to go to Christ. And to obtain from him what this lady also obtained. Have you heard, friends, of his kindness, of his love, the love of God, the mercy of God? You know, it's interesting, this lady actually, she hadn't realized the kindness of Christ. She knew about his power. She was well aware of what he could do. But she hadn't realized that he was a merciful Savior. And he was willing to save. That's part of the reason as well why she came from behind. Apart from the being ceremonially unclean. She wasn't sure whether he would really forgive her. Heal her. She wasn't sure about his willingness to do that. But her faith was somewhat imperfect. She knew he had the power, but she doubted whether he had the willingness to do it. But the Lord still heard her. The Lord still, even though she had this imperfect, unclear sight of him, he still reached out to her. He still granted her her desire. Dear friends, do what this woman did. When she heard of Christ, look, she reasoned within herself. Verse 28, before she went to him, she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. We have to do the same. We have to think over these facts and these thoughts that I can only put in a precy form before you, and think of what he has done for others, and say, well, if he has done that for others, he can surely do that for me. If he has come to make an atonement for sinners who will believe in him, then I will believe in him. Then I will trust in this Savior, and I will trust in Christ. We have to use this information, use the knowledge that God has given to us here in the Gospels, to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. If he has done it for others, why not me? Surely for me too. I also, if I believe in him and I trust in him, I can look to him. Surely he will also look on me and save him. But you may say, well, this woman, she was able to touch Christ physically. I can't do that now. If I knew, if I could do that, if I could touch Christ physically, maybe that's what I would do. But you don't have to. What you need to do, friends, is touch him by faith. By faith. You need to express a faith in him. What is faith? Well, let me just try to put it very, very simply for you. Faith, friends, is simply trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting in him. Believing in him. Believing in what he has said. And trusting and depending on him. It's something actually that we do probably every day. We exercise faith in some way or another. You have children. Well, you leave your children at school and you trust that the school will look after them. You trust that the teachers will look after them. And then you pick them up when you come back in the afternoon. You don't phone the school every 5 minutes saying, are my kids well? Are my kids okay? You trust the school to look after them. It may be you want to go into central London and you see the number 53 bus outside. It takes you all the way to central London. Well, you trust, if I get on this bus, number 53, it will take me all the way. You don't sit on the bus wondering, well, will it take me to really take me to my destination? Will it really get me there? Is it going to take me to the other side of London where I don't want to go? No. You sort of express a trust because you believe what the destination of the bus says it will do. And so you jump on it. And in a similar way, we trust Christ. Christ said, look unto him, trust in him, pray to him for forgiveness. He says, if you come to him, and he will forgive you all your sins. He will change you. He will give you a new heart. Then he will take you to heaven. He said all these things. And you say, I trust you, Lord. You've said all these things. I will lean and depend on these words of yours. I will trust in your blood to take away my sins and depend on you for salvation. That's it. So simple. The Lord has made it for us. But then, finally, one more point. And notice how she was conscious. It was a conscious cure. The woman knew straight away that she had been healed, that the flow of blood had stanched. She felt the change in her body. She knew a miracle had taken place. As we said, usually when you're sick, well, it takes a while to recover. You may begin to feel better, but usually, even if you had such a small thing as a cold, it's only after 2 or 3 days that you feel like I'm fully recovered. But this healing was immediate. It was a miracle. But she was not the only one who was conscious of the healing. Christ also knew what had happened. Christ had consciously healed her. He wasn't taken by surprise by this healing. He knew exactly what was happening, friends. He saw the lady as divine, as God. The Lord Jesus saw this poor lady coming up to the crowd. He saw her making her way through the crowd, even though he was not even looking in her direction. In his divine mind, he could see these things as the omniscient God. And he saw that hand stretched out in faith to touch him. And when she touched him, he was the one who released, you could say, the miracle. He immediately imparted that healing, that virtue, to go out of him, to reach her, to touch her, to heal her. It was something that he was very conscious of and did of his own will and power. Oh, he knew everything. Oh, you may say, but doesn't it say, it seems as if he's saying he doesn't know from the account. He asks, who touched me? But that was only, friends, to bring out this lady into the open so she could testify to others of what Christ had done for her. And her faith could also be strengthened, and so he could encourage her as well, as we have said. Well, here is the lesson, friends, even for us, that if we come to Christ for pardon, he knows. If you apply to him for pardon, he knows. If you pray and cry to him for mercy and for that new heart that you need and that new life from above, he knows immediately that you have made that cry. If we are sincere in our prayer, if we are sorry for our sins and turn from it and cry to him, he will hear immediately. He won't waste any time. There will be no delay. You will receive an instant reply. And you will know that forgiveness and that pardon and that new heart. Will I know? Will I know that I forgive? Yes, the change is so tremendous, friends. You're bound to know it. In some ways you will be very similar to what you were before, but in many ways you'll find you're a different person. And you'll find you have different tastes and different values are given to you. And now, especially, you're able to do things like to pray and to commune with God and to love His Word and to enjoy learning about God, things that you didn't know and have before. Well, you'll be conscious of these changes in you. God will give you a new heart, a new nature through the power of His Holy Spirit. It will be a conscious change that He works in us. Well, I close, friends. Have you heard of Jesus? Have you heard of Him? Really heard of Him with your ears? Has it made a difference, the knowledge that you have of Him? Is it just in our minds? Or has it affected us to such a change, to such a miraculous change as this woman received? Some people, when they hear of Jesus, well, they procrastinate. They put off believing on Him to another day. Tomorrow I'll believe in Him. No, friends, you must, when you hear like this lady, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek Him until you find Him. Come to Him and seek that immediate change. Go to Him without delay. Go to Him with faith, friends, believing and being persuaded that what He has done for others, He is more than willing and able to do for you. He is such a good Savior. He is such a merciful Savior if we come to Him in this way. And He is willing to do a miracle. This is the kind of miracle you need. This is the inner kind of change that you need. Have faith in Him. Even though, may I encourage you one last time, even though your faith may be imperfect, you may not see everything that there is to know about Christ. But if you have just a little bit of information you can pick up on from this message tonight, and you can use that to go to Christ, that will be enough to save you and to take you to heaven at last. May the Lord help us each one to have such a simple faith in him and to know the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and being reconciled to our God. Let's pray together.